A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, oh my gosh, that would be the best. And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details. Hi guys, on today's podcast, I am going to talk to the shy athletes. Really, I'm going to talk to the parents of the shy athletes, but hopefully the shy athletes are listening too. I'm going to teach you some skills that will allow you to learn to speak up, which is a skill that not only will help your sport, but it will help your life. So stick around. There's some fun, easy tips to help you speak up when what you're being told to do doesn't line up with what you really feel. Welcome to the Perform Happy Podcast, where athletes and their support squad come to learn the secret weapon for sports success. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith. First, I was a scaredy cat gymnast, then a coach. Now I'm a sports psychology expert and a parent. Athletes, whether you're feeling stuck or you're having the best season of your life, I'm here to help you reach peak performance and maximum enjoyment. Hey everybody, I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I am live here today to give you a message that has been on my mind for months. It's this concept of teaching your, I'm going to say daughter, but just know, it's obviously boys can be shy too. So forgive me if you are the parent of a male athlete, but I'm going to give a lot of female examples because this is something that comes up for girls more often. So I want to talk to you about how to help your shy daughter, your shy young athlete, speak up for herself. And this is something that is not encouraged. It is not actively encouraged in a lot of aesthetic sports. So in gymnastics, in figure skating, in cheerleading, it is not encouraged to speak your mind and let your coach know what you think. There are so many scandals about coaches making athletes train injured, coaches making athletes try skills that they don't feel prepared for. There's so much of this deep in the culture of these youth sports that I want to give you some tools and tips and tricks so that you can help to, you know, give her that confidence that she knows what she'll say if she comes up against one of these scenarios. So here's an example of a situation that I encounter all the time with my athletes that I work with in Perform Happy. Imagine you have a shy 11-year-old who is sweet as pie, and she is a hard worker, and she's talented, and this girl can go the entire practice without speaking a word, and that would be her comfort zone. She's sort of a yes, ma'am, yes, sir kind of girl. Everybody loves her because she's so sweet and wonderful and easy to coach, and she starts getting afraid. And maybe she's been anxious always. Maybe she's the kind of girl who's always a little extra nervous before a big meet, or she's the little peanut who doesn't jump to the bar first or doesn't go over the big vault first, but she's got heart and she tries. And now she's having this thing happen where she can't go for skills. And, you know, you can think of this in any scenario where your athlete is feeling like they can't measure up to the coach's expectations. Okay, so the coach is like, "You're ready. You can do it. I know you're capable." And she has this thing inside of her that's like, I don't know why, but I don't feel safe right now. And oh, just like saying that, I'm like, ooh, it takes me back to the just like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You just do it or you get in trouble, basically. Here's the tug of war that's happening inside of this girl. If I do what the coach says, then I'll know I'm worthy of my spot on this team. I'll be able to compete. I'll be able to move up to the next level. I'll be able to stay with my friends. I will not be left behind and not moved up to the next level because I couldn't get it together and be brave. Okay, so that's on one side. And then the other side is the entire survival mechanism in her body is going, "You could get hurt. You could get hurt." So she's like, okay, all of my social life my dreams or my physical safety. And she has to choose emotional safety, physical safety. What do I pick? So here she is stuck between a rock and a hard place. And essentially, these are the two options that it feels like these athletes are given. You either do it, you like get over yourself and go, or you're a chicken and there's something wrong with you. And she doesn't want to be a chicken. So she thinks to herself, okay, I should be able to do this. I shouldn't need a spot. I shouldn't need an extra mat. I have to make myself do it. I have to go. I need to do this. So she's sort of like giving herself that pep talk. Sometimes it results in success. And a lot of athletes who are those shyer, quieter athletes, they make it really far in their sport, not speaking up, not feeling safe. But they are good girls and they do it. And then eventually it will catch up to everybody, especially if you've had any injuries. So like I said before, like this girl could be the quiet, shy one regardless. But in this situation, it's like they go even deeper inside and are like, I don't want to look dumb. I don't want something to be wrong with me. So I definitely don't want to ask for help. I'm just going to chuck it. And so that chuck it method, I call it chuck and pray. You chuck and pray and it works. And then you chuck and pray and it works again. And then it doesn't work. And then it works sometimes and then it doesn't work. And so she's basically run out of options and speaking up is not an option. So what I want for her in that situation, athlete, if you're the one listening, if you're the one in that situation, I want you to know how to respectfully speak up. Okay. So that you don't have to have those long-term consequences that I had in my life because I did not know how to say no. When my answer was no, I did not know how to say no. And parents, you probably understand this goes far beyond sports. Just that ability to say no respectfully can absolutely change your life. So this is very important to me. Okay. The great news is assertiveness can be taught. Yeah, not everybody is a masterful communicator right out of the chute. Not everybody desires to be, but it's absolutely possible that you can learn to be assertive. And so I'm going off some tips from Katie Hurley. She is a clinical social worker who works with a lot of kids, helping kids be happier, totally lines up with what I'm doing. And she gives some really great ideas on how you as a parent can help your shy, quiet little girl start to kind of own her voice. So the first thing that you can do is talk about it. And the thing that I think is really important to know is that there are three different communication styles. So three basic communication styles. The first one is passive. So that's like, that's your piglet. You know, she doesn't really make eye contact. She has a very quiet voice. She acts like everyone else's time is more valuable or everyone else's rights are more valuable. And I don't want to bother the coach and I don't want to make waves. So that's your little piglet, is the passive piglet. Then we've got the second type, which is aggressive. And that these people are loud, they're imposing, they stand taller, they're like, coach, watch me, watch me, watch me. And they act like their rights are more important than the rights of others. So that's your Tigger, who's like, I'm amazing. Look at me, look at what I'm doing now. Here, I'm over here. And then Piglet's like, well, I'll just be over here waiting patiently until my turn. And I don't really want to say anything. And I definitely don't want to look like that. And then meanwhile, Tigger's getting all the attention. And then little Piglet's, you know, sweet and shy over there, kind of just like working it out. And then the third is what I want for you, which is assertive. And that assertive communicators, they make eye contact. They use a calm but firm voice. And they respect both their own rights and the rights of others equally. And when I was thinking, you know, what is the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh character that embodies assertiveness? Well, there isn't really one. So I'm going like curveball. If you've seen the new Aladdin movie, the live action Aladdin movie, Jasmine in that movie, like, oh, I love her. And now I'm like break into the song of like, won't go speechless. She has a voice. She's confident. And she's kind. She respects her own rights. She respects the rights of others. So there is that. I think there's a fear in young athletes who don't want to make waves or they don't want to sound like a jerk or they don't want to look full of themselves that if you're confident, you're not kind. You're like a Tigger and you're just all over the place. But you can be Jasmine and you can be confident and kind. You can be assertive and respectful. And that, I think, is that's that missing piece where you feel like you're stuck. Either I say something or I don't. Well, no, you say something respectfully. So parents, here's what you can do. first you can talk about those three things. And that's just a really great icebreaker to be like, who do you know who's kind of a piglet? Who do you know who's more like a Tigger? And they'll be like, oh, I know exactly who that is. And then also, well, who do you know that is assertive? Who's like Jasmine? Who's confident and kind? And I'm sure everybody's got someone on their team that they'll be like, well, that person is that leader on the team. And this could even be a game that you play. You know, let's say you go to an event, whatever, you're out in public, you're at the mall, you're somewhere, and you're like, let's see if we can find one passive person, one aggressive person, and one assertive person. Speaking of Tiggers, my children are being very loud in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but yay for good times. But you can go out and say, okay, I'm going to see if I can find, or even like someone driving on the road, be like, oh, that's a Tigger driving. He's like dancing to the music, or that's a piglet driving, or there's a Jasmine who's like, seems very like alert. And so just to sort of like help them to start identifying those different types of communication. Okay. Then start modeling it. So if you want her to be Jasmine, you be Jasmine, which means that you start modeling certain body language, certain behavior. You remain calm. Like, as the mom, this is not always easy, but you remain calm. You make eye contact. You use a clear and confident voice when you want something. And here's the thing that makes you not a Tigger. You listen. You listen. A masterful communicator listens. So practice listening. And then it's really great teachable moments when you find a moment in your relationship with your daughter where you do not agree. Those are the best times to be like, okay, this is a good one. And you can practice statements like this. Thank you so much for explaining your point of view. I have a different opinion, but now I know where you're coming from. You know, and it's not that you've caved. It's not that you're like, oh, you're right. But it's going, thank you. I appreciate you sharing where you're coming from. And now it makes a lot more sense to me why you would think that. And I can respect that. I don't agree. I have a different opinion. But that's interesting, you know, and then you can just own, you can hold that together and be like, we don't agree, but we still love each other and we still respect each other. So that you can model that going forward. You know, you can model that on the phone with the cable company. You can model like that. Agree to disagree in a kind and respectful way is an amazing thing for your daughter to see you doing. Okay, then here's another fun one that I'm sure any little shy peanut in the background is going to be like, mom, do not make me do this. But here's a fun one, using the mirror. So it's one thing to learn how to speak assertively. If you're hunched over and staring at the ground and like speaking loudly, telling what you feel, it's not going to have the same power as if you can pull your shoulders back, you can make eye contact, you can stand tall, you can get your arms at your sides, and you can actually like look yourself in the eye in the mirror and say, I don't want to play football today. Would you be interested in tag instead? You know, you come up with 3 to 5 assertive statements that your athlete, your daughter might need to say at some point, and you write them down, and then you have her practice, you know, say, like just read this all hunched, read this with your head down, read this with your shoulders back, your chin up, and then ask, you know, if you were the coach and you saw this girl all hunched up and, excuse me, oh gosh, I don't know, what would you do? And what if she walked up and she's like, hey coach, you know, I really want to go for that skill today. I was really hoping I could. I'm just not feeling mentally ready to do it yet. What if I got a spot on the first two? Or maybe I could pull an extra mat under the beam. You know, you just like, if you look at yourself in the mirror talking that way, you might understand why when the coach says what's wrong and you go, I don't know. They don't know how to help you. It's not easy to want to help somebody who is so shut off and so like just not saying what's going on. So write down, you know, a little script for each of those little scenarios where assertiveness would go a long way. Maybe it's with a bully. Maybe it's with a specific coach. Maybe it's with a friend who's kind of a bulldozer. And then just practice in the mirror, watch your posture, watch your facial expressions, and then see what works. And mom, obviously you're going to probably have to do this too, because otherwise it won't be so awkward. But I mean, we can all benefit from this, right? Just imagine like, what do I look like when I'm saying, no, thank you. but here's another idea. And there's delivery is everything. You'd be amazed what humans will help you do if you ask in a really like effective way. Okay. So part of that is coming up with some scenarios. So I want you to like think about, what are the times when assertive communication would be very, 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 very helpful And you can even throw them in a jar. Like if you have multiple siblings, it could be a fun family game. You like toss in like, what are those situations like being bullied or, you know, a really aggressive person, or you come up with real life scenarios and then you pull them out and then you go, okay, who's the bully? Who's the victim? Who's the coach? Who's the athlete? And you'd switch off, because this is the kind of thing that like one role play is not going to change your child's ability to speak up. But multiple fun role plays with multiple solutions where they're coming up with not one solution, but two solutions or three solutions. And then you're switching. And then mom's got to come up with two solutions to her tough situation at work, or, you know, and you guys collaborate and decide like, we're going to be assertive communicators together. Let's do this. And it might be awkward, but oh my gosh, how powerful would this be? And then finally, just like make this fun, make it fun. Like give yourself some code words like, oh, go be Wonder Woman today. And she's like, oh yeah, that's right. Talk like Wonder Woman, or be Jasmine, or, you know, make it fun. And like I said, you know, find people in their cars and be like, oh, Piglet, talk about practice and what kind of communication they noticed. And then what kind of behaviors these people exhibit that gives them the ability to be assertive. And I find that just knowing the script, knowing how to stand, we can all act assertive. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't feel confident, you can pretend, and then you'll notice that the reaction from other people will feel good and it will make you feel better. And it's like, it starts this cycle of confidence building. So this, I'm really excited. I'm going to do this exercise with my group this Wednesday and Perform Happy. I teach a group of kids once a week, and then the other coaches teach a group four different times. But I'm gonna role play this with these athletes this week so that they can get an opportunity to kind of step into that. And I love making everybody feel a little awkward for the purpose of growth. So if you have a shy, timid athlete, I challenge you, you know, even if all you do this week is you just talk about the three different communication styles, and then maybe you try to like, you know, do something like you model it a little bit more. Eventually you ease into the mirror, you ease into coming up with scenarios, you talk about it in the car. I mean, you can definitely get a lot of progress through repetition with this stuff. So I hope that this is helpful, and I will be back soon to give you more tips. And along these lines specifically, that is my mission this year. I want to give little girls a big voice, a big, kind, respectful voice so that they can live their dreams and be happy too.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.